Entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today is a Wednesday, so a little bit of history, a little bit of fantastic, wonderful people, and I've got two for you today. I have Karen Perdue in the studio here with me. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
And I have on the phone with me calling in Linda Holbert. How you doing, Linda?
Just fine, thanks.
Now, we'll start out with Karen. Karen, you're nominating Linda for a very prestigious award. Why don't we talk about that?
Yes. Well, Linda Holbert, many people in town know her. She has been chosen as one of the 10 inductees to the Alaska Women's Hall of Fame this year. And I thought it would be good to come on and just talk a little bit about Linda and her life, but also all the other women that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, and especially the Fairbanks women, and get people interested in it and seeing if they might want to nominate somebody next year.
Great idea. So are you on the nominating committee?
I am on the board, and I do sit on the sometimes I sit on the review panel, but sometimes I don't. It's an all over the state type of an organization, so women all over the state reading applications and looking at these hard to choose 10 women in this group.
Yeah, you know, there's two things I don't want to do: what you're doing here, and I never want to be a judge in a baby contest.
Yes, that's true. Good point.
I know. I live a safer life.
Yeah.
Linda, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
So how did Karen break it to you that she was, you know, selecting you to be a nominee?
Well, actually, she was coming out of having her hair cut, and I was going in to have my hair cut.
I would not know anything about that aspect.
Yes, and we met in the parking lot.
Okay.
And Linda was very surprised. She was nominated, which is possible to nominate someone without their knowledge, and by a friend of hers. And so she had been chosen, but she did not know she was even nominated.
So before we get into Linda's bona fides for being nominated.
Yeah.
What is the process?
Yeah. So, you know, the Women's Hall of Fame has been around since 2008. There's no bricks and mortar. It's a online organization with a board. And we have inducted about 240 women, 45 women over those many years into the Hall of Fame, of which about 22 are from Fairbanks.
Okay.
And Linda.
Good representation.
Yeah, Linda joins a very good group. And I just want to read a couple of the names here of the people, starting with 2009, the first year. Grace Scheibel, Catherine Nordale, constitutional delegate, Celia Hunter, Susan Butcher, Emily Tickasuk Brown, Joe Scott, Georgiana Lincoln, Hannah Solomon, knew Hannah. I knew all these people when I was a kid. It was wonderful. Mary Jane Fate, Eliza Jones, Winita Helms, you know, the former mayor. Mike Dalton, Holden Carlo, Roxy Wright. Roxy Wright, I nominated. It was a joy to write her.
Wow.
What an amazing woman. Myself, which I did not know someone had nominated me. It's the same year I nominated Roxy. Mary.
The stealth application.
Yeah. Mary Nordale. So that you had two Nordales on the list. Joe Heckman, Vera Alexander, and now Linda.
You know what I like best about Jo Heckman?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things to like about her.
But she had a once a week food entry into the Newsminer.
Yes.
And you know, I've never been able to thank her because I've learned from her what she posted. So anyway.
Yeah, and then let me add, Sue Sheriff was also chosen last year. So. You know, you don't have to be a big elected official. You know, you just have to be someone that has just contributed to your community and your state. And that defines Linda for sure.
Yeah, you know, when I was mayor, you gave me a call and you informed me that that incredible painting at the fire station by... Chad or whatever his name is.
Sandy Jameson,
yeah. Right. That was not donated by you yet, but placed there by you. And then we went through the process of you donating it to the city of Fairbanks. And then at the same time, you had me come over to your office. And Fairbanks, you know, when people like Dorothy or Linda call, you don't ask what, you just ask yes. You just say yes, what am I doing? You don't ask what you're doing, you say whatever it is, I'm doing it. So you had me come over to your office and you gave me the painting of Downtown John. And you were looking for a prominent place to put it, and I put it right there at City Hall. When you walk into City Hall, when you know, you see it from the steps, if you're going up the steps, there's Downtown John, and it was just a perfect description of Fairbanks, a fine gentleman, hard worker, the snow shovel in his hand, leaning against the wall in downtown Fairbanks, and I thank you for that. You know, I put that in the best place I could possibly put it, and I thank you for that.
You are most welcome. It was Fairbanks to me the minute I saw it.
Yeah.
And I bought it from Jinx Whitaker with the promise, and Jinx said, I will sell you this painting, but you need to hang it in a public place. And, you know, my office isn't a public place, and we hung it at Denali State Bank for years till they remodeled. Then it came back to me. So I had the opportunity to lend it to the city, and I'm very happy that it found a great home. It really just says Downtown Fairbanks in all of its special characteristics.
So right now I'd like to have Karen interview you, not interrogate you, interview you. So Fairbanks can get, so she can tell Fairbanks why she's nominating you.
Yes, and so I have been reflecting on my association with Linda, which has been decades. And I first met Linda in the late 70s, I think. I worked for Terry Miller when he was lieutenant governor in Juneau, and that was an honor. And Linda came there, and she was, some people don't know that she was a big, big advocate for adult.
So did you run the Division of Elections?
No, I had nothing to do with that. I would never do that. That's too much work.
And don't be the judge in a baby contest either.
Okay, I've got my list, yeah. And so, Linda, I don't know if you remember, but you had come down for your trying to work on adult basic ed. And so I learned that Linda and John had moved here. And so, Linda, tell us how you moved here and a little bit about your early days in Fairbanks.
Oh, you bet. John and I graduated from college on the East Coast and decided that rather than going to grad school, we would go over to Edinburgh and London. So we went over. John was a grad student at the University of Edinburgh, and I taught in Edinburgh. Then I taught the following year in London. And then we came back, and John got a master's degree at University of North Carolina. And then we looked at each other and said, okay, now this means college teaching. Where do you want to go? And we just couldn't find a place that spoke adventure and excitement until we came to University of Alaska, UAF, in Fairbanks. So John applied and was given the job. And so we hopped on our VW bus and drove from the East Coast through the U.S. and Canada and came to Fairbanks in August of 68, a year after the flood.
Great time to get here.
I just wonder how many people drove up the highway in their VW bus. A lot, I think.
Linda?
With their dog.
We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages. Fairbanks, we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, human. I'm a micro monster swimming around in your plastic water bottle. But I can't wait to swim in your bloodstream soon.
Microplastics are micro monsters.
Drink me. Wait, what are you doing?
But you can fight back by using glass or metal reusable water bottles.
No!
Don't let microplastic micro monsters invade your body. Find more ways to fight back at stopmicromonsters.org.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. Lori Prox here with the fishing update and derby info. The Valdez Halibut Derby saw two new leaders in the overall standings this week, but Shane Miller of Fairbanks is still holding on to first place with a 184.6-pound halibut. Brett Nelson of Palmer, Alaska, broke into the standings in second place with a 143.8-pound halibut. Dan Williams of Palmer made it onto the leaderboard in third place overall with a 139.8-pound halibut. Nelson and Williams won the first and second place weekly prizes. Brett Nelson said he's fished Valdez several years, and the group of anglers he fishes with has been fortunate enough to have a lot of weekly winners. When asked why he buys a derby ticket, Nelson responded, "Having a derby ticket just adds a little spice to the whole adventure." Nelson took home a prize, but he could easily have been knocked off the leaderboard by a mammoth halibut that was brought to Port Valdez. Captain Josh Hughes said he saw the biggest halibut he'd ever seen in Valdez last week. Hughes said he was down on the dock when an older couple pulled up in a private boat and asked him to help hang a fish. Hughes said he couldn't believe the size or mass of the fish. Although it was never weighed, Hughes said he thought it was close to, if not over, 400 pounds. The largest halibut on record in the Valdez Derby is a 374-pound fish caught by Frida Wiley. The couple did not buy a derby ticket, and Hughes had no clue how they managed to get that fish in the boat.
Coming to Valdez? Stay at Valdez RV Park. These TripAdvisor reviews tell you all you need to know.
Each site was clearly labeled, ground was graded well, and it's so close to the harbor.
Owners are friendly and accommodating, and the laundry, shower, and bathrooms were very clean. They even had s'mores at the fire pit.
Visit ValdezRVPark.com today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies. Highs around 73. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 50. Cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers, 69. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have on the phone with me Linda Hulbert. And in the purple padded room, I have Karen Perdue, who, she hasn't gone psycho on me yet, but it's only the first quarter that we're done with this. Karen, this purple padded room gets on people.
I like it. It's very calming for me.
So there you go. Oh, man. Linda, how you doing there?
Just fine.
So, Linda, back to, we got you to Fairbanks right after the flood with your dog and your husband. And then what?
Well, and then we found a trailer to live in at Tanana Trailer Village, and we began experiencing Fairbanks. And I can recall we were here about 4 months, and we had heard about John Haynes out at 68 Mile Richardson Highway, the well-known Alaska poet and author. And we had written to him and gone out to visit him, and we were driving back in, and it was pretty cold out, and I turned to my husband, and we were talking, and all of a sudden I popped out with, I'm living here the rest of my life. And he looked at me and said, what? And I said, I have found my place where I belong. And I lived in Massachusetts. I lived in North Carolina. I lived in Edinburgh. I lived in London. But the minute I came to Fairbanks, I knew I was home. And this was, you know, fall of 68. And I would just have to say that, you know, I still feel that way today.
Oh, that's great.
I think we all have that feeling.
You either do or you don't. And boy, do we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can, you know, you'll get me out of here kicking and screaming.
So, Linda, you got into education. It just sounds like you were a teacher before you got here. And so tell us about what it was like back then and how you were filling gaps.
Well, what I actually became very involved with was nonprofit management. And actually, I worked very early on with the Literacy Council. I worked with, the Campfire Girls first, and then the Literacy Council. And so I really got into nonprofit and nonprofit management pretty early. So I spent some time teaching in the military programs out on Fort Greely early on, too. But I got very involved in adult basic education and recognized the absolute need for English as a second language and high school equivalency diplomas. And that led me into the conclusion that all of those things were wonderful, but if they didn't lead to a job and sustainable income for the family, that it was incomplete. And so really my focus really shifted for the last 40, 50 years really on workforce development and helping people get from where they were to where they want to be. So whether it was in nonprofit management and in high school equivalency diplomas to the Adult Learning Center, or whether it was through volunteer work on the workforce board, both locally and statewide, that really became my personal focus. And even though I made a change to the private sector 35 years ago and joined New York Life, I still maintain my passion for adult education and employment and training issues. So if you were to say, what is my passion? It really is vocational education, employment and training, and the opportunity to have a sustainable income.
Now your early interest in that seems to have a lot of things have happened that are good in that regard. A lot of more opportunities for kids in vocational tech and so on. I know you've been involved in giving. You continue to be a philanthropist, and as Dave was mentioning, so what are some of the things that have interested you and have worked well for kids that you've helped with?
Well, kids and adults.
And adults.
We think a lot about kids, but so many adults need to change careers or never had a career to begin with. So although I focused a lot on kids and educational opportunity, a lot of my focus has been on taking adults from where they are to creating avenues for them, whether it was through the early CETA programs and through workforce development through the government, to the community college, originally Tanana Valley Community College, and then when it merged with the university through the university programs, those really had, you know, they weren't really publicly funded like the public schools, but encouraging vocational education in the school district, encouraging opportunities for adults to retrain and to become employable through whatever options we had available, through activities with unions and apprenticeship training programs and getting people ready to go into apprenticeship training. One of the wonderful things that's happening is that the unions have become very involved with the school district. Mm-hmm. And they've recruited and provided involvement, and I've personally observed this in family members and friends of my grandchildren going through the public school system, and watched them really seriously want to be in the Electrical Workers Union and actively schedule their educational programs to provide for that. Mm-hmm. Whether it was operating engineers, whether it's electrical workers, the opportunities are terrific. And the opportunities through the Pipeline Training Center. So if we look at what we have today compared to what we didn't have years ago, we need to take our hats off to people like Jim Sampson and his strong leadership in what we have today.
Yeah, well, there's I wonder if after, I'm often surprised, you know, how little sometimes it takes to help a kid or an adult who's mm-hmm. trying to figure out what to do. Maybe just a little scholarship or a little nudge, and then, you know, their whole life path changes. Are you running into people who you helped or nudged around a little bit several decades ago, and you get to see some of the fruits of that?
I sure do. Gifting to some of the programs at the university, and then sitting in the endodontist chair, and the assistant was working on my teeth getting ready, and I talked with her about her degree, and it was through university scholarships that she completed her degree. And here I am contributing to those scholarships and then sitting there and getting the benefit from it. Mm-hmm. I have repeatedly talked with people how they got where they were, and it's inevitably 50% of the time been through, I got through school, but I got through because of scholarships. I got through because at the last semester I needed this help. The giving portion and the absolute need, and we all benefit from that. We all benefit from the people who graduate with skills that contribute to the whole community. And one of the things, as you know, Karen, and my husband died of brain cancer at the age of barely 40. And I started a scholarship program for him focused on vocational education. And now it's all endowed. And every year, my endowment funds about $9,000 a year, every year from now on, ongoing in scholarship money. And the vocational college and component career development center, they decide who gets the money and how much. But I perpetually get letters of appreciation. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll get a note from someone saying, thank you very much, I really appreciate it. But, I mean, that's an opportunity to give.
Linda, we're going to take a moment here, take a break. We have a break coming up. And Fairbanks, a little bit of information here. The Elks tonight, hey, if you want to eat a nice dinner, barbecue chicken dinner, tonight at the Elks, $28, RSVP at 456-1551. And this Friday, Ray, he is bringing back the Friday night steak night there, ribeye dinner, baked potatoes, Caesar salad, all the fixings, $33. I appreciate everyone showing up two Fridays ago, or the Friday before last, when I did the taco night. We served over 45 people for tacos, and it was a lot of fun. So anyway, good food, good people, good membership. Go down to the Elks tonight or Friday night. And we'll be back after these messages.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The U.S. and Iran exchanging fire again in a new round of attacks. President Trump threatening to continue with more strikes tonight. Today, the NATO summit in Turkey, the president says Iran's recent actions have made him change his mind.
I'm not sure I want to make a deal with him. We can play games, but I'm not sure I want to make a deal. Let's just finish the job.
The new round of strikes came after Iran reportedly attacked three commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. also revoking a waiver for Iran to sell its oil. Now oil prices rising again. President Trump, what do you feel about that?
We have an oil glut right now because we got all those boats out of the strait. And it's going to drop, and I've predicted everything.
Oil prices rising more than 6% as investors are concerned about the supply. Iran has vowed not to fold against what they called bullying and extortion at the NATO summit. President Trump getting together with the presidents of Ukraine and Syria. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KPOO reports two cruise ships in southeast Alaska have reported norovirus outbreaks in recent weeks, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The Ruby Princess, a Princess Cruises ship, had 102 of its 3,032 passengers, as well as 23 crew members, fall ill. The National Geographic Seabird also reported a norovirus outbreak. More than a quarter of the 68 passengers on the smaller vessel fell ill, as well as one of its crew members. This is the Seabird's second outbreak this year. Louisa Castrodale manages the infectious disease program at the Alaska Department of Health. She said noroviruses are a family of highly infectious gastrointestinal diseases that cause vomiting and diarrhea. She said the virus can spread easily when large groups of people are together in a small space, like a cruise ship or a large event. This is a family of viruses and illnesses that happens year-round and kind of everywhere, she said. The Seabird is expected to be back in Juneau on July 15th, and the Ruby Princess is scheduled to be back on July 16th.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Sound. It's all around us. Whether the laughter of children, the sounds of your favorite wildlife, or the rhythm of your favorite song. Sound brings our world to life. The Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center wants to remind you that their certified doctors of audiology are here to help hear those sounds. And whether it's a medical condition that requires treatment or a simple fitting of a hearing device, Dr. Jackson and her certified and licensed staff will help you hear more. Come into the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center for testing to hear what you've been missing. For more, visit fairbankshearing.com.
This election season, visibility is everything. From yard signs to banners to mailers, Advanced Printing has your campaign covered. With fast turnaround, custom designs, full service printing, and bulk mailing, they help you reach voters when it counts. Whether you're running for city council or a statewide office, make your message stand out, loud and clear. Call or stop by Advanced Printing today and get your campaign moving.
Your partner from design to delivery to victory. Because at Advanced Printing, your business means a mint to us.
It's a good time for a break, and a good time to discover the wild beauty of McLaren River Lodge. Nestled along the scenic Denali Highway, McLaren River Lodge is your base camp for adventure, fishing, hiking, wildlife viewing, or just relaxing by the river. Unplug, unwind, and breathe in that fresh Alaskan air. McLaren River Lodge offers cozy cabins, hearty meals, and views you won't forget. Make your getaway one to remember at McLaren River Lodge. Book online at McLarenRiverLodge.com.
We know it's springtime, but Fairbanks Urology understands that not all seeds need to be planted. Fairbanks Urology can help you learn more about how to play in the garden without the bloom. Of course, we're talking about vasectomies. Information about the procedure is on their website, and you can even request appointments online. It's fast and easy, just like the vasectomy procedure itself. FairbanksUrology.com or find them on Facebook. Reach out today or...
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Linda Hurlbut on the phone with me and Karen Perdue in the studio here with me.
And we're talking about the Alaska Women's Hall of Fame and been around since 2008, and we have about 22 Fairbanks women that are in the Hall of Fame, and our latest inductee is Linda Hurlbut. And Linda, you know, just changing gears a little bit here, let's talk about art. I know you're in culture and symphony, and I know you've been involved in art and art promotion. I remember you were good friends with Claire Fage, and you certainly, you know, Sandy Jameson. Tell us about some of the artists that you've worked with or gotten to know, and some of the things that you like about their art.
Well, that's a big question. And a lot of the people are contemporary, but a lot of the people are historical. You know, there's just obviously Claire Fage was really special to me. I've known Claire for a long time. I love her work, and I have it. I've admired a lot of people that I don't really know, Rusty Herleen being one.
Mm-hmm.
How have I known them personally? Sometimes I just know them through their artwork. And when you live with it every day, you can really appreciate it and use it. So I'm not sure I have an abiding influence, interest in it, and it makes a difference in my life because I like it, love it, and I own it, and I'm surrounded by it both in my office and at my home. And I support it in many, many ways. But as far as individual artists, I don't think I can say a lot more.
I have a good Rusty Herleen story, and actually a Claire story, I just realized. Can I tell that?
Yeah.
Please.
So, you know, and this is about, you know, knowing artists personally when you're, especially when you're a kid or you're growing up, right, and you don't have any idea who they really, you know, their importance.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Rusty Herleen, we had the big painting in our living room.
Yes, of course.
But who is this guy from Esker?
Exactly. And he was a Swede. And, well, one day he was a friend of my parents. And one day he came over to our house in off Fairbanks Street. And he took some pictures of my dad, Ralph Perdue, in a canoe. It was the middle of the winter. They had this canoe, and they put it in the living room. Of course, you'd remember this when you were a kid. And he was paddling a canoe. And Rusty had took pictures of him. And then a number of years later, fast forward 50, 60 years, in Anchorage, somebody was, who's a friend of both Linda and I, an art appraiser, was looking at the back of that painting, that was hanging in a doctor's office, and it said Ralph Perdue on it, 1960. And so they got permission for us to go look at that painting, which was a painting of my dad in the moose scene. You know, moose is in the distance, and my husband bought it for me.
Wow.
It was so amazing. Wow. It was such an amazing thing. And similarly, Linda found a picture of my father when he was, by Claire, when he was a teenager, really. And she arranged for us to have that in our family. So what an amazing thing to see these people now today know how important they were, but they have done things, you know, that really mean something to you.
So Linda, the Sandy Jameson that is in the fire department there.
Right.
That's a quite a large painting, first of all.
Right.
That's about a 8x8. 8x6. I mean, it's big. Did you have that commission for the city of Fairbanks, or did you find it? Because Fairbanks, what it is Sandy Jameson, if you've ever been out to, say, the pump house and looked at Sandy Jameson's bear tender there, you'll understand what the characters that Sandy Jameson uses. And what he does is he has a house fire. And they're removing, you know, the animals out of the Fairbanks fire department is, you know, has a ladder up there and fire and stretchers and everything. And it's with the characters, and it's with the Fairbanks fire department. And it's just, there's only one place this can hang when you think about
right.
it. And Linda got it there. So Linda, did you have that commission? Did you find it?
Yeah. Well, it started out in the Anchorage airport when my nephew, who was a fireman for the city, and I were waiting for a plane at midnight, hoping that we were going to get home that night. And he was saying, gee, you know, we don't have any way to raise some money that would help people if they're injured in fires. And so I looked at him and I said, well, what would be helpful? And I said, if you had a print with a painting that you had the right to sell, could it raise money? And he said, yes. And I said, well, why don't I do something about that? So when I got back to Fairbanks, you know, that's the question. You know, what can I do about that?
So did he make the flight, or did he have more time to grill you on what you were going to do?
No, we made the flight, but I remembered it. So I picked up the phone. The only person I would really think about that would work well, and Sandy had been a friend since the late 60s, early 70s. And I called Sandy and said, would you consider doing a painting, a firehouse painting, in conjunction with the union, to do something where they could sell the prints and you would do the original, and I will commission and pay all cost. So I wrote a check to Sandy, and he worked with the union. All I did was write a check and talk to people. All the work was done by Sandy and the fire department itself. And the painting was done with incredible involvement of all the individuals in the fire department. In fact, one of the people in the fire is a fireman, and there's a name printed over the helmet. And that was somebody who died of cancer recently, before the painting was done. So the painting was done, and then it was framed, and it was always intended to hang where it hangs in the fire department. So I owned the painting, but we put it in the fire department, and it stayed there until I was confident that it was going to be safe there. And then I gave it to the city when you were mayor, and it was the right thing to do. And so it was, but I just had an idea, and the prints were made, and Sandy Jamison had an arrangement with the fire staff and the union, and they were able to sell the prints and make money from it.
You know, when I first saw it, it was just before I knew anything about it, ownership or anything, I saw that, and it was like a wow moment for me, the detail. Mm-hmm. The expressions, the emotions on the animals, you know, his characters rather, that he uses. And, you have the captain being the captain, you know, and just, you know, it's something else. And it's hard to explain art when it hits you. And that one hit me and grabbed me. And so when I found out about it, that was years, and then you were wanting to donate it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. So anyway.
And the title of it is Local Hire.
That's great.
Sandy was the one who came up with that.
All his great, his TSA with Santa and the TSA guy. Checking things was great.
Now, before we go to our next commercial break, we're going to do something political.
Oh, boy.
And I've already warned Karen. It's political, but it's not political. It's called Dave's Lottery, Dave's Lotto. And the gubernatorial primary is on August 18th. And basically, there's 17 people running for governor, and there's only four that are going to the final four after August 18th primary. So what I'm asking people is, put in order your picks of how they're going to finish in the primary. It doesn't mean you like them. It doesn't mean you're going to vote for them. It just means that this is who I think is going to be the 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, you have the horse racing trifecta. Well, this is Dave's quadfecta. And so I'm going to put Karen on the spot. I warned her earlier so she could start thinking about this now.
Yeah.
Now, Karen, if you hit the trifecta or the quadfecta, pizza on Dave at Bobby's, and I had pizza there last night. Me and Emily did, making sure that and it was great. I had the immigrant. Oh my God! Anyway,
that's the only reason to become involved in this.
Yeah, I know, the food. So these are the eight that I think have a chance of being the final four.
Okay,
and in alphabetical order: Begich, Bishop, Bronson, Crum, Halala, Taylor, Walker, and Wilson. So,
okay. All right.
Who's your number one that you think? And you don't have to give reasons. Just who's your number one?
Well, oh gosh. You know, how the heck should we know? It's 17 people running for governor, right?
That's why it's called a lottery.
Eight of them there that you listed. And a lot of them really, really fantastic people.
Yeah. And, you know, I had Pete Kelly on here saying, he literally said, I like them all.
Some great people.
Yeah.
Run our state.
I like them all. He liked them all.
Yeah.
He started going through, his time in the Senate with Tom Begich.
Yeah.
Thinks the world of him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I'm thinking that the way it works with this, you vote for one, and then we have four, is that this, somebody who has a strong regional presence might do better than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody from Southeast or Fairbanks, they have strong support. And so, just putting that in there, I would say Tom Begich is probably number one, just because he has so much name ID.
Yeah.
Yeah. The name is, of course, his dad was the congressman. And then his brother was a senator, and he was a senator in the state.
And his nephew's a congressman.
His nephew's a congressman. So it was a baggage thing. It's a baggage thing.
Yeah.
And then I'd say I've heard a lot about Bernadette Wilson.
She's number two?
I'd say she'd be number two. And again, I'd say she might be stronger in the South Central area than...
Mm-hmm.
I know she's traveled around a lot. Click, I think, is a really viable candidate.
Yep.
And, of course, for us in Fairbanks, he represents us. And then, I'm just going to go with another one that's probably not on your list, which would be Jonathan Kreis Thompson?
JKT.
JKT.
Yep.
Because he's probably strong in Southeast.
Okay.
Strongest in Southeast. So that's the rationale I have for my guesses.
You know something? It's your guesses, and your guess is as good as mine, really.
Yeah. I want the veggie with a little bit of extra.
But far be it from me not to take advantage of this opportunity of having 17 people and creating my own lottery. I'm Italian.
Yeah.
I got to do some gambling on this, and the payout is, you don't give me money, but the payout is if you get the right guesses, you get pizza.
Yeah.
Now, Linda, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll see if you want to play Dave's Lottery. And Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Going camping is the simply satisfying, relaxing way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors. Plan to get the most out of your experience with a visit to Frontier Outfitters. Check off your list of essentials such as tents, sleeping bags, and cookware from your favorite brands such as Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Slumberjack, Coleman, Jetboil, and more. Garmin GPS. Protect your eyes with sunglasses by Oakley, Maui Jim, and Costa. Your successful camping trip begins at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. The roads you ride aren't always easy, and they're always changing. For those kinds of roads, you need the flexibility of Firestone Destination Highway, all-terrain, and mud tires. Designed for aggressive off-road performance without sacrificing street respectability, quiet, and comfort. Drive somewhere you never thought possible. Go there with the Firestone Destination family of tires on your light truck, SUV, and CUV. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Naming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
If you want to show off that summer smile, it all starts with a visit to Affordable Dental Care. And like the name says, yep, it's affordable. And nowadays, few things are more important than saving money. Affordable Dental Care does both. In a warm, friendly atmosphere, it's the perfect dental clinic for the entire family. From cleanings to crowns, they got you covered. That's Affordable Dental Care. See all of their services online at adcak.com. Affordable Dental Care, just off 14th Avenue, right downtown.
Store your boat safely and with ease. Trailer trucks, cars, and boats, and don't forget RVs. Great news, Westside. Independent Rentals' new storage location on Chena Pump, just down from the boat shop, is now open and ready to help with all your storage needs. Take advantage of our awesome move-in specials. Call us today, 456-6595. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 73. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 50. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Karen Perdue in the purple padded room with me, and I have Linda Hurlbut on the phone with me. Linda, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Do you choose to participate in Dave's Lottery?
Partially.
Oh, that, you know, that is your personality. David, I'm going to do it my way. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like being backed into a corner. But if I were to say who I think the finalist would be, I do agree with Karen. But I have some, you know, I can't help but have some strong preferences here, too.
Whatever your 1, 2, 3, and 4, they're your picks. Don't worry. Well, who's your one?
Probably my one would be Click Bishop.
Okay. And your two?
Probably Jonathan Christ Thompson. I think, I don't know where Tom Begich is going to be. And I think Bernadette Wilson is probably going to definitely make the top four.
So who's your three and who's your four?
Three Begich, four Wilson.
Okay. You know, so far, now here's the thing about it. So far, I have five people, and I've no one's given me the same four answers. And that's why this is a fun.
It's definitely the case. It's an open thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to explain yourself, because how do you explain 17 candidates and what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh. So how did you get into New York life?
Well, after my husband died, I had to reassess because we were both in the same profession. And someone came to me and said, you know, your being here at Adult Learning Programs is just like John was still alive. And that comment pulled me up and I said, you know, I need to change. I need to change because I need to do more for my family. I need to branch out. I grew up with a financial background in that my father was a banker for J.P. Morgan. So I grew up in the financial area of New York. And I thought, and then New York life approached me for 6 months. I said, no, I'd never do that. And then I reassessed it and joined New York life. And it was one of the best opportunities. And it was wonderful because you're just taking care of people.
Yeah.
So I've spent the last 35 years taking care of people. And because I always worked all over the state, I have probably 50% of my clients in Fairbanks and the rest in Anchorage and Mat-Su and
Alaska.
All over the state. All over the state.
That's why you're a good representative to be in the Alaska Women's Hall of Fame.
She is.
Well, it's just, it was a wonderful, wonderful career. And it provided me the opportunity to be completely independent. And just to explore in many different directions, to enjoy more artwork, to travel more, to have a wider view of the state. Because I traveled, Karen and I would meet at the airport on Thursday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it must be Thursday you're here, Linda. And I was Fairbanks Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, flew to Anchorage Friday morning, spent all day Friday in Anchorage or Mat-Su, Thursday, Friday, flew home Friday night, worked all weekend, and then was back in Fairbanks. So I did that probably for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
At least 3 of 4 weeks a month between here and Anchorage.
Now, Linda, don't your kids live here in Fairbanks now?
Oh, yes. They all, you know, kids and grandkids.
And grandkids. So you got one in New York Life, and what's your daughter doing?
Oh, she's a speech and language therapist.
That's fantastic.
So she's been a therapist. But, you know, by changing careers to New York Life, I was able to put the kids through college debt-free.
Yeah.
And for my daughter to get her master's debt-free. And so my goal now is, of course, for my four grandchildren to get out of college debt-free. So I have one granddaughter who will graduate in a year in geological engineering from the university here, a grandson who's now in college in California, and then another granddaughter who's heading into UAS this fall, and another one who's a senior at West Valley.
There you go. They grow up fast, don't they, Mom and Grandma?
Yes, they do. And it's wonderful. And so, and it's nice that some of, you know, my kids have chosen to be here, and that probably we'll see what the grandchildren choose to do.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that I'm representative of. You know, Mom was a very exceptionally intelligent person. And sometimes intelligence skips a generation. Now, my niece, she's got it. My mom had it. Me and Dana, not so much. We're hard workers. You know, I've met your son, Eric. Highly intelligent person. Mm-hmm. My God. So did that come from you?
Or his father.
Combination thereof?
John was an excellent student. He had a master's degree, and he was just wrapping up his PhD when he died of brain cancer.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know who, you know, there's lots of different types of intelligence. There's get it done intelligence.
That's where I'm at.
Academic intelligence.
Yeah.
And that they're very different.
Yeah, it. My dad had, as he impressed into his kids, you're going to get it done. And my mom, she was highly intelligent, and she had that you're going to get it done intelligence, and there's a penalty if you don't.
Yeah.
Well, we got about a minute and a half, Linda and Karen. Karen, anything else you want to talk to Linda about?
I just want to say thank you, Linda, for accepting this honor. I know most of the people, and Linda's no exclusion to that, said they don't deserve it, and gee, why me? But I want you all to think out there about nominating someone. Now, the nominations will open in October, and the choices are, then you have quite a while to fill that out. There's a form online, and you go to womenshalloffame.org /nominate. And, you know, just think about Fairbanks and all the great women. You have to be 65. The woman has to be 65. They can be alive or deceased. And we want to show what the state how great our women are and how much people have accomplished here in Fairbanks. And Linda, is thank you for doing that this year.
Well, this is very humbling. When Karen mentioned it to me, I said, why me? I haven't done anything. You know, I really didn't feel like I deserved it. I don't know that I've accomplished any great feats like the people that Karen has mentioned. They've accomplished great things. I don't know that I've accomplished any great things.
Well, Linda, you have, and humility is always one of the first things that a person looks for to be in the Hall of Fame, I would think. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you being on the show. Karen, thank you for being here with me. And bringing in Linda and Fairbanks. I will see you on Friday. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.